Today we're here to cancel the frogs.
They might be dead. Do we want to
stomp on their graves?
Frog Stomper, album by Silverchair.
Anorexia life. Oh, are you loud? Are you okay? Volume-wise?
Yeah. You mean?
How's your volume?
My mic or what I'm hearing?
Either or, both.
Okay. I think everything feels fine. I usually get real loud later, so yeah. It's probably best if I'm a little bit quiet to start.
I think we might be dialed in. I didn't realize I had like two layers of stuff on my head. Got like...
Can't hear through all that shit.
No.
Can't eat that shit every day, Fred.
Can't be Beanie Guy.
It's a reference to a... Speaking of the frogs and homoerotic / homophobic themes, song by Limp Bizkit and Korn.
Oh, yeah. What was
all
that?
All in the Family.
All in the Family, that's right.
And then it ends with them, like, fucking, oh, but fuck you. It's very strange.
It was the 90s, man. We were
it's
pushing,
like a battle thing, you know?
Pushing boundaries.
Yeah, but then it ends with them doing it.
I remember that song, because that was on Follow the Leader, wasn't it?
Yeah. There was also a song with Ice Cube on that album.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
I was so disappointed. I was personally disappointed. I loved Life is Peachy, so...
That was my least favorite, I think.
They're very different albums.
I liked it, but...
I just like how raw it is. It's like, for a band, like, I think they didn't know what they were gonna do next after the first album. The first album was very, like, some people could say, like, Alice in Wonder BDSM Land. Kind of thematic-wise, not, like, necessarily performance and... purposefully, but like at the end of the day with like the children's rhymes and then like songs like Daddy and even the cover of the album, like there is definitely like this idea of
well, the second one had that too. It's like a creepy little kid looking in a mirror, right?
Life is Peachy. Yeah. But that one was more of this weird, like, there's that one song where he just says like all the horrible things.
Swinging between your pussy lips. Whatever, I don't know what.
Kung Pao glitz. Like, just out there shit. You're like, as a teenager, you're like, this is fucking awesome. These guys are breaking new ground. I don't know. In some ways, like, that's kind of, I mean, the thing that I've learned from studying film, if you will, permit me this moment, is that you will do a lot of terrible, horrible things, or like people will, kind of in new territory. So when filmmaking kind of went rogue and it was more affordable to make a film, a lot of like that's kind of when exploitation films started happening, whatever they were, blaxploitation, all these other, and,
B movies.
Yeah, all these like B movies being shot. And so people were like breaking laws, international laws, rules, you know, just like crazy things were happening all the time and trying to push boundaries, trying to like find the edges of, you know, what could be still considered artistically relevant.
Korn's a weird case. It's like, I still don't know if they know how to play those guitars at all, you know? But I mean, they know as far as what they're doing, but they're playing it like a different thing, right? Like,
yeah.
It's weird. Very strange. It's like innovative yet regressive.
It is. It's
artistically innovative, but like
it has
technically regressive.
More primitive, kind of more primitive sound. They always said the goal was to take all that like fast heavy metal and slow it down and find that groove within it because of the hip-hop
the
influence.
Funk. Yeah.
And Yeah. So I don't know. I like
106 albums now.
I'd go to the mat for the first two albums, and I don't think, what was the one?
The fourth one was the one I liked.
The fourth one is very good.
That's like the best balance of like the poppy sheen.
Yeah, and, that life and of, the or that
metal thing.
Life is Peachy meets Follow the Leader, kind of middle ground there.
Yeah, it doesn't have any. There's no goofiness on it. Maybe there is, but...
No, but it's not as... I haven't listened to it in a long time. It's not as pronounced, though.
Like, it doesn't have, like, the one, like, we were just talking about with Fred Durst, where they're battling
and
talking about each other's buttholes, you know? It doesn't have the edgelording,
edgelording, whatever that song is called. It's like R, and then all the symbols for, like, bad words after. Right. The emojis.
Childish.
Initial, original.
How emojis. Old were they when this was happening? Like, 22?
Probably in their... early to mid 20s, you know, frontal cortex is not solidifying yet.
Well, and they were all on meth and shit.
Well, not at that point. They were definitely alcoholics. Cause like I don't know the history. I have the documentaries. Cause like, I had seen the first documentary.
I might have one. I have something where they like make a fan drink out of a toilet or something. I don't know.
It might be the second. I'm not as familiar with the second
documentary. Who then now bitches and then.
Yeah, there's Who Then Now, and I can't remember. I think it was just the Korn documentary or something like that. It was the first one. Or maybe that one's the
Who Then Now. Who Then Now is the... I don't know. I don't know that much. I'm surprised I've been able to pull this much. You just randomly start talking about Korn. I haven't
thought about those books in a while.
I don't know, 10 years ago now, maybe, they made a dubstep album with a dubstep DJ on each track. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Like... it has some cool shit. I don't know if it holds up. I haven't tried it recently. I liked it at the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't listened to them since like Issues. So, and that's fine. I feel bad that
it all gets blurry after Issues for me. I
hate that. I feel like I have bands where I just like those whatever albums, and you know, I'm glad that they could continue having a career and stuff.
There's a Korn album that I like that everyone else, all the other people who are Korn fans, it's probably everyone's least favorite, but I like it. It's produced by The Matrix, who wrote like all the like Britney Spears hits. I think it's like two guys, or I mean it's one guy, or I don't know.
Sounds like a two guy operation.
Yeah, it's producers. I think they have like Grammys and shit. Might have Oscars. I don't fucking know. They're EGOTing, but
they're going for gold.
I think it was when the one guy left for Jesus before he realized that the Brian. Christian fans weren't going to pay his bills the way the Korn fans were and came crawling back.
Brian Head.
Yeah.
I forget his last name. Welch?
Welch, yeah.
Had a thing of grapes.
Heir to the grape juice fortune. I don't know if he's related.
The one I always remember about the first... documentary is that he bought like this car and it just keeps like breaking down. He's like, I bought a lemon, and he's like out there trying to like foot pump a car tire.
I've definitely seen what you're talking about, but I have no recollection of it.
Yeah. I just love all that stuff. I love the first days of a band, like right when they know they're making magic for themselves or whatever, but they don't know that they've already come out the other end of it, and everybody else is like, that is magic. Yes,
it's like where they're right on the they're riding the wave of like incompetence and brilliance.
Yes,
and they don't know how they're doing what they're doing. They know just enough to be brilliant, but not they don't know enough to ruin it with like an academic understanding that hampers it, you know.
Yeah, it's like if you take something apart and know how it works, and then you know, try and build something similar to that, and it just doesn't work, you know.
Yeah,
you I think it might be a bad it. Analogy, but in music it doesn't work that way, because if you take apart your magic, you know, you can't really, like maybe later on in your career you can do that, but early out, you know, you just got to keep blindly groping in the dark.
It's like why the sophomore slump happens, right? Maybe it's a different thing, but
well, I think that happens because you're the partially like either what you've done or the reaction to it is so big that you don't even have a clue about where to follow, like how to follow that up, you know, where to take that.
Right. Well, and it's also like you had a whole lifetime of
just
whatever you were doing that wrote and created that first album.
Yeah, the first album.
And then the second one is a completely different life where you're famous for the first one already and your old life is gone and you're expected to make something as good as that was. It can happen, but that's why it usually doesn't.
And part of that too is factored in that you're like still playing and touring that material, so you don't have time to write, you know, as much as you did before.
The process has all got to be different.
Yeah, the work of it is starting to show in it. And like, I mean, even without that, all that going on, you know, having done the first Holiday Sale album, I like freaked out about what I was going to even try and attempt to do for the second one, you know. And then when the band started falling apart, I was just like, so one thing that I've always wanted to do that maybe Quietly Kept can do someday is do an album where you write all these songs, all these different songs, and you find different bands to record them with. Mm-hmm. Maybe like bands that have a strength that might show in that song. And that would always be like my favorite thing to do with something like Quietly Kept. Or if it had just been me and Minnie, that was kind of the next step, was to just like write songs that would sound good with whatever band and have them play on the album.
It's kind of like, speaking of Korn, when they had John Davis did the music for what, Queen of the Damned, one of those.
Anne Rice thing.
It was Aaliyah was in that.
Aaliyah was in it.
Yeah.
It's actually, I watched it not too long ago, like maybe a Halloween or two ago.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I
think it looked like cheese to me, and I didn't.
It kind of holds up.
Really?
Yeah, surprisingly.
The soundtrack's not very good. It's okay. But anyway, it was all like, I guess, written by Jonathan Davis, and then had guest vocals. I don't know what the band is, just like studio musicians, I guess, but like different, like the guy from Disturbed and the guy from Static X and whatever.
Whoa.
I think Static X had their own song on it. I digress. Your idea is like that, but in reverse, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be really hard and logistically, you know, probably expensive on the other end, but it would be, to me, that was the only way I could think after the band was falling apart of how to like bring it, you know, because like
about recording with a symphony.
That was on the table too. I've been trying to get one for the one song.
How does a regular guy do that? You just pay for it.
I've met some people from the symphony, and I've always tried to keep them close to my pocket in case like one day I'm just like, hey, so what's the hourly rate for all of you guys to play together in a place? I mean, that's like so many people having to learn a song.
How many people are in a symphony? Like 50?
20 to 70?
Is there a quartet is four?
Right.
Like, is a symphony a set amount? I don't think so.
I don't know that, but it's
I'm sure it's a range.
Right? Yeah, I think. Well, if it's not a range, it's at least like a.
Symphony's all strings?
Instrumentation. No, it's everything. It's all this. Or am I thinking of an orchestra?
I don't know, man. We could Google it, but I don't really care.
We're not even supposed to be talking about
We're not even supposed to be here today. You know, I was just thinking what we'll do. We'll make this the holiday gift.
Yeah.
We'll just drop this under the tree. Next week or whatever.
Yeah.
It'll just be a bonus episode. Holiday gift. It'll be like 15 minutes long or whatever.
So orchestra. Symphony is the musical composition. Orchestra is a group of musicians.
Oh.
With a variety of
symphony orchestra.
With a variety of instruments, which usually includes a violin family.
But it can be whatever. Like, you can have horns or drums or
drum timpanies.
A chorus? Can there be? Is that still an orchestra?
I think it's considered. That's considered your choir.
Well, but if they're with all those other instruments, is it part of an orchestra?
An orchestra.
Like when John Williams
does.
dun, 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 dun. Oh, 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 oh. You know, that shit. Like, that's an orchestra, right?
Let's see. Let's find out. Luckily, everybody's fought this out. The orchestra and choir is a group of instrumentalists and vocalists.
So is that like just like, you know, that's London Philharmonic Orchestra featuring the Star Wars singers or whatever?
Choral symphony? That's a work for an orchestra choir. Often solos.
The more you know.
Dun, dun.
All right. Is this the end of our bonus episode?
That's the end of the bone us. You want a bonus?